Audio Jungle. Audio Jungle. Hi everyone, welcome to season 2, episode 9 of the Disco Lemon podcast. I'm here, snug as a bug, on my couch with one of my, well, I'm going to say one of my favorite guests just because she's one of my favorite people, so I'm assuming she's going to be one of my favorite guests, but it's Kaylin McCann.
Hey, I hope I turn out to be one of the favorite guests.
We'll be the judge of that after this. So Kaylin is coming on today to talk about the idiom of her choosing, not my circus, not my monkeys. And I really love this one because I use this pretty often. So we'll dive into that in a bit of why you chose it. Okay. But first, I always start by asking my guests how we met. And I personally don't really remember, but there's like a short, like there's a backstory. Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't know like the exact moment, but I know it was because you were Becca's little sister from swimming.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So Becca and like my older sister, Becca, for my listeners, she's mentioned in probably every podcast.
Yes.
But she is 2 school years above me. And Kaylin is a year above Becca swimming?
2.
Or swimming and school. 2 years. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we never crossed paths like in school.
I think my senior year, were you a freshman?
No, Becca was a senior when I was a freshman.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we just, you were always at our house.
Yeah, it was like my second home.
Exactly. So like Becca and Kaylin grew up together. So naturally, like you were just always in my house. So we grew up together too.
Yeah. I always say like family friend.
Yeah,
I'm friends
me too.
With like your entire family, I feel like.
Yes. So. Mom calls Kaylin our third daughter.
Yes.
So she's like the adopted daughter in the family. as if 2 wasn't enough.
Right.
But basically one of my first memories, I just remember oftentimes, like, you and a few other swimmers would just be, like, sitting on our couch when I got home from swim practice, because you guys would swim earlier than us, because I would still, like, train at the high school pool. And one of the earliest, wait, I kind of want you to share your earliest memory first, and then we can see if it's the same one.
Okay, I don't know if this is my earliest one of you, but I know when we had that snow day. Are we going down the
same
path?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was that. Oh, no, it's different, but I like this one.
Okay, so we had a snow day. I think I was maybe snowed in at your house. I was there all day.
Yeah, and you might have slept over. You did that a lot.
Yeah, like I was just there all the time. You have that little hill in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And we
the
went
shitter.
Out.
That's
a thing where we live. Like, you sled in the shitter in your backyard.
Yep, that was a thing where we live.
So we were sledding down the hill. I don't know what happened, but we just like all started peeing ourselves laughing.
I think it was like you,
but
Becca.
But maybe it was just me and Becca.
Maybe like Alex Rodman.
Yeah.
And then I like came out because I think I saw you guys on the ground and I don't know. I thought like maybe you were hurt or something. I definitely wasn't doing the sledding, but I witnessed you guys were like cracking up. You couldn't like get a word out. I thought someone was hurt. But you just had all literally peed.
Like wet. Like pee.
And I think, if I recall correctly, some of you guys were like in my family's clothes because you had like one set of clothes. I think like you were wearing my sweatpants or Alex was or
probably.
Becca. Someone was wearing my sweatpants and they peed in them.
Yeah.
So
normally I would be really embarrassed to go tell someone's mom that like I wet myself like as like a junior
as
in high school.
A high schooler.
But your mom was like, oh yeah, we got sweatpants upstairs.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. We always had the swim team over. My memory was like at that house on Hogarth, but I don't remember. I guess it could have been Hell Week, which was like Christmas break when training was really hard. We called it Hell Week. But it was when that commercial was really popular. It was the
Education
one
that, Connection. Wait, really? It's like Get Connected.
Wait, Get Connected. Pull
free.
And I think I had like videos of you guys singing it because you would like rewind it and play it back.
That like lives rent free in my head.
Uh-huh. Education Connection. Match me with the right college for free. Yeah, it was that. So I remember that. I don't know if that was one of our much later memories because you wouldn't have been comfortable doing that in my house, probably.
Probably.
But yeah, ever since high school, I also remember, and this isn't one of like my memories with you. This is definitely like Becca telling me it. But you used to always, like, drive her to practice and pick her up before Becca had her license. And I remember her telling her family, like, yeah, Kaylin's car is kind of messed up. And we're like, what are you talking about? And
well, there was a lot wrong with that car.
Your, like, steering wheel wouldn't turn the wheels of the car, like, accurately. You'd have to, like, double spin the wheel to turn the car or something like that. And whenever my car gets a little, like, out of whack or, like, if something's off, I'm like, oh, my God, it's, like, doing what Kaylin's car used to do.
Wait, that's what you think of?
Yeah, I don't know why that thought, like, comes to mind, but I don't know. It just stuck with me.
Well, Becca spent a lot of time in my car, so she probably had a lot to say about it.
That's probably true. So, okay, one other memory, I guess, is, like, a claim to fame. Hopefully this man is not listening. You know who he is. The one man that kind of told our family that you were a bad influence on Becca.
Yeah, and he was trying to save you.
So this man, he, I mean, it was their swim coach. Like, I don't want to just say some random guy.
It wasn't like a random man on the street.
But their swim coach had said, like, come to my mom. Which, mind you, Kaylin's my mom's favorite daughter. So I don't know why he thought.
Wait, I thought it was Becca.
No, yeah. It was you were a bad influence on Becca.
Yeah.
And he went to my mom and said that.
Oh, I thought he told Becca
maybe,
that.
I don't know. Maybe he did tell Becca.
Either way,
our whole family found out that he was like, Becca needs to stop hanging out with Kaylin.
Yeah.
She's a bad influence. And I just want to update him that, like, this is us now.
And they have not stayed away.
Actually, they did the opposite. They're much closer now than they've ever been.
I wonder if my head's still in my ass, though.
Yeah, you said get your head out of your ass.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Yeah, so all in good, clean fun, but those are my earliest memories of Kaylin. It's always laughs, always festivities.
Yes.
Kaylin actually punched her ticket to our annual Christmas cocktail competition.
Very exclusive.
It is really exclusive, guys. And I've talked about it before on the podcast, but you either have to marry into the family or be Kaylin. So those are your two options.
Or be a blood child.
Blood child, yes, exactly. So we include her on our, like, we plan the time around, like, when is Kaylin going to be home, too.
Yeah.
So
I guess we have two more seats available.
Two? Oh my God, you're right! We have two more tickets open.
Any lucky winners?
We're talking about our future male friends, please.
Yes.
They would also get their ticket punched to our cocktail competition. And at that point, we're going to be absolutely wasted because each person makes a drink. Right now, we have mom, dad, six. Nick, Becca, me, Kaylin. That's six.
Yeah, that'd be eight.
So we have six cocktails, so we would have eight. We'd probably have to make them smaller.
Yeah, like half shots or something.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out when the time comes.
I might sleep over that night.
Yeah, we'll just make your room up like we usually do. Yeah. Okay, so a little history with me and Kaylin personally. We have rivalry in our blood.
Yes.
Because we both went to SEC schools. One of them awesome, the other one decent. I went to Tennessee, Kaylin went to Alabama, which was my second choice. I really loved Alabama. I just loved Tennessee more. So my question for Kaylin is, well, that's a good question. Like, how did you end up going from Collegeville, Pennsylvania to Bama?
Yeah.
Because, like, my swimming took me, but for you, you just, like, you were one of the first people that I knew of around us, like, jumping ship and going super far for school.
Right.
Most people end up, like, around
Penn State. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always say, like, I wanted to go to a big football school. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, oh, do you play football? I'm like, no.
No, you just cheer it on.
But Methacton just didn't have that, like, school spirit, football, Friday Night Lights thing.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
And I wanted to have that in a school. And, like, where else would you go besides Alabama for that?
Yeah, true.
And
where else did you look?
Florida State,
okay.
A lot of SEC schools, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
When I went
aren't
to
they
Alabama,
both ACC?
Well, yeah, those were ACC.
Okay.
Yeah. Ohio State isn't.
Like Big 12?
Something.
Big something. Irrelevant.
My mom was like, I told her I didn't want to go to a state school.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, if you go out of state, you have to go to Alabama because the tuition was like the same as Penn State in state.
Yeah.
So we flew down there and we both loved it.
Yeah.
So that kind of solidified it.
That's good. And then how did you end up back? Because what did you major in? You were
Nutrition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're RD, right?
Yeah. So I have my bachelor's in nutrition. Then I moved to Georgia and I got my master's in that as well.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then you ended up in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Which my family was happy about because we'd always, you and I talked about this before where we just wish we could uproot all of our families and move them south because you and I are similar in that we very much enjoyed the south, but we're family people, so we had to come back up north.
Right.
So I know family brought you up north to Baltimore.
Yeah. I don't really know how I picked Baltimore, honestly. Yeah.
I bet it was the same thing. I bet Becca was in your ear she was me. Yeah. Come to Baltimore.
Well, I was leaving Georgia. Because I had, a kind of serious relationship, aka marriage, that ended.
Pretty serious.
Yeah, kind of serious. And I was staying in Georgia, because of that. I wasn't really tied there. So when that ended, I was okay, the world is my oyster.
You could go wherever.
Baltimore
is.
So I had to go. I wanted to keep my job at the VA. So I was just looking at who had openings.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go any further from home than I already was.
Yeah.
And Baltimore had a job opening. And my mom was I think you'd actually be really surprised that you would like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then of course, Becca was here. Mm-hmm. So she was in my ear oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And so I came up here, I guess in August that year. And then Becca took me out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's nice to know someone when you move here because they just introduce you to other people and make you know that it's okay up here.
Right. And it's not so scary because I've done that move where you don't know anybody before and I didn't really want to do that again.
Yeah.
So I kind of did, but I had Becca here and then I had our family 2 hours away.
Yeah. So it's perfect. I think, I'm still, my listeners know that I'm still trying to get used to Baltimore, but it helps so much. Having you here, knowing Abby, being so close to Becca, and I do love, the distance from home.
Yeah.
It's, enough to make a trip out of it, and, my parents can come visit, but it's not, I'm at home.
Too close.
It's still, a new city to me. So it's kind of, I love that that we both ended up here. I remember when I was, deciding where to go after Tennessee, I had come up to, visit Becca, and I think we went to a drag brunch. And you were just joking,
we did.
But you were when are you moving to Baltimore? And I was never, haha. And then suddenly I'm here. So it all works out. All right, moving on to my favorite question that I love asking people, and I ask all my guests this, but how is your spirit today?
I feel overall it's really good, but specifically today I feel anxious. Mm. I feel I still have the Sunday scaries kind of that rolled over into Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why, but I think I just have a long week, and also I'm on spring break from school. Mm-hmm. And I don't have set in stone things I have to do every hour.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's that or
and
what,
you have more free time to branch or to take care of.
Right.
But that brings me to my next question, because I was going to ask what are you up to right now? Because I had said in the last podcast, oh, my next guest is going to come on, but she doesn't know her idiom yet because she's got a lot on her plate.
Yeah.
Which is true, because you're in school, you just started a new job. You're on spring break from school. So why are you going back to school?
So I got a promotion, I guess, in August.
Mm-hmm.
So now I manage the staff that I used to work for.
Yeah.
And I have no management experience. And, nobody ever trains you on anything. You kind of just get thrown into it.
Yeah.
So I figured I should go to school and get my MBA and, know how to manage people. And, working at a hospital, it's kind of running a business, too. So I wanted to develop my skills to do that.
That's probably what people are supposed to go to school to do. That's such a good intent, whereas most people are just I'll figure it out as I go.
Right.
But you'll actually get the knowledge and you have, I don't know, the determination to do that, which is really hard. This is a hard time period to go to school on time. And I know your schedule was insane. You were taking night classes after work almost every night of the week.
Yeah.
And then studying on the weekends.
It's all in person, which I feel people assume it's online. Mm-hmm. When you say you're part-time in school.
Yeah.
But it's in person from 6 to 10 a few nights a week. It's a lot. Yeah. And, like, I think it's a lot for me because I don't have a business background.
Yeah.
So me taking,
it's, like, fresh information.
Yeah. Like, accounting is completely foreign to me.
Yeah.
So to learn that after work at 9 o'clock at night, that's
when your, like,
tough.
Brain is fried. Right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to do when I get home is learn.
Yeah. Honestly, like, the class part isn't bad because I love my classmates and, like, the teachers make it fun. Mm-hmm. It's the work outside of the classroom, like the studying and the homework, that I don't like.
Well, when do you do your homework? Because normally you would do your homework, like, if you have a night class during the day, but you're working. So do you, like, jumbo pack all of your homework on the weekends?
Yes. I'm trying to get better about doing it the other nights of the week that I'm not in class.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to, if I'm going out of town one weekend,
yeah,
I can do it that way. But yeah. It's just, like, whenever I can.
That's so much. And when, how much more school do you have? You had said, like, 2 years?
Yeah, so it's a 2-year program if you take no breaks, like, all winter, all summer. And I started in August. I'm, like, 25% of the way through, I think.
And you think you're going to do, like, the full, or are you going to take, like, a summer or something?
I hope to just go through and finish it. I know everyone probably says that, and, like, life happens. I know it's pretty normal to take a semester off, but my intent is to just go through.
To just power through it.
Because I also have time right now. Like, I don't have kids. I don't have, like, I feel like it's the best time to
do it. True. Because then when life starts to happen, you're going to be, like, the last thing that you want to do is more school.
Right. Oh,
that's so much to do. But hats off to you. And you are,
Thank
like,
you.
Working your way up. Like, you already got a promotion. Now you're, like, studying with intent to, like, keep going up.
Right.
And that's, like, inspiring.
It opens a lot of doors. Because with nutrition, you're kind of, like, locked into being a dietitian.
Yeah.
And I was so burnt out from patient care. Like,
that's what I have two other friends who are RDs. Yeah, and they're, I mean, patient care right now is just, like,
it's just,
I haven't heard a good thing about a hospital in a long time.
No, they're, like, that you're just not, like, uplifting places to work, which I think is the opposite of what I always thought when I went into healthcare. I've only been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah.
I think it might be the COVID stretch that makes it feel like 10 or something.
Yeah, probably.
But I'm just burnt out from it, and I'm so much happier managing than doing patient care.
That's good. Mm-hmm. It is important to be happy at your job.
Yes. I really was under the mindset of, like, no, it's fine. Like, it's a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I am happier, like, I see how important that is.
And it opens you, like, more time. Like, if you're enjoying your work, then you think, oh, maybe I can add on school, you know?
Right.
Like, if you're miserable at your job, you're probably like, I don't have time for school.
You don't have the energy.
Yeah.
And school is really applicable right now to work.
Yeah.
So it just kind of feels like a continuation. Like, my day, it's pretty insane.
It, like, relates to each other.
Yeah.
That's really good. Before we dive into why you chose your idiom, I just wanted to get to a few fun facts about Kaylin. My absolute favorite is a bit of a side story, but one day in high school, I was in high school. You were coming back from college.
Yes, I was in college.
It must have been, like, around a holiday because you always, like, come home, wear your Bama gear, and, like, sit on our couch and hang out for a while.
Right.
And this had been, like, 2 hours into you already being at our house. We already all caught up. We're already, like, past that. We're like watching TV. It's like a commercial. We may have paused it to get, like, a glass of wine or something, snacks. I don't know. All of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, guys, I forgot. I'm an ordained minister. And you pulled out this, like, framed like certificate out of your purse. Which, like, it wasn't even a big purse.
It's, like, gold embalmed.
Yeah. It's, like, super formal. And you're just like, yeah, like, I'm an ordained minister. And my family was shocked.
It was just silent.
And then you said, yeah, like, and my dad was like, are you, like, actively going to do that? Yeah, are you practicing? And you said, I don't know, like, maybe I'll do, like, gay weddings or something.
My mom thought that's where the money was. Because I used her credit card to do it.
Yeah, how did that happen?
It was a Thursday, like, so we always had swaps in Greek life.
Uh-huh.
And
right,
so,
I forgot. You were at Bama in a sorority, which is, like, it's sorority life there is huge.
Yeah, it's, like, an
what
entire culture.
What sorority were you in?
I was a Pi Phi.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
So we had a swap, and then my roommates and I got back, and I don't know what prompted this. I could not tell you, but you can apparently get ordained online.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to, like, take a little course, answer some questions. It was, like, tell us like how you preach the gospel. And I just wrote God for every single, and my friend told me this, that I wrote God for every single.
Cause you were drunk or?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. You didn't include that.
Oh yeah. I thought it was like implied.
It was so funny. And we bring that up, like just how you delivered. Kaylin's really good at delivering information so that it shocks you to your core, like the most. And just like casually after seeing my family for a few hours, ripping that out of your purse is a moment that will go down in history. And then, do you have any personal fun facts? Because that was the one that, like, really stood out to me.
I always forget that one. Mm-hmm. I just can't think of another one. Nothing, like, hidden like that.
Yeah, nothing, like, too, not that you have, like, another hidden talent like that.
No, and I have not done a wedding yet.
You haven't, but you could. That's what I always say. I'm like, well, Kaylin can always do my wedding.
Yeah, you know, so. Nobody's asked. Becca.
Becca and Nick calling it out. Oh, that's funny. They did have a friend do it, too.
Yeah. No, that would have been atrocious if I did.
That would have been so funny. I kind of want you to do my wedding. I think it would be so funny. I'm eloping anyway, so you're invited to wherever we go. It'll be tropical.
Just the three of us.
Just, you know how mad my mom would be?
Oh, she would not be happy. Yeah,
and Becca. No, Becca would be invited. And Nick. And the baby. So,
yeah.
And my mom would be really mad if she wasn't. So suddenly I have a wedding of like 25. I'm not going to be able to have a small wedding.
No.
That's okay. my other, it's not really a fun fact about you, but it's a fun fact about my family that you're a part of naturally.
Yes.
So every holiday, we do a lot of like traditions around Christmas as most families do, except ours are a little quirky, I would say. Like the Christmas cocktail competition, that was like pretty generic. Mm-hmm. But we also do one where we read Aunt Mary's letter. And this, to my listeners, is, it goes back in time. We had received, I don't even know what year this was.
I think we just hit the 10-year mark.
We just hit 10 years. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Or we're close to it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. So, a way while back, 10 years or so, my family is, like, receiving Christmas cards in the mail from, like, the people we know and the people we don't know. Except it was addressed to, like, Kimberly Ann and Tony. And I remember this because read it every year. It's 10 years annual. And basically, this woman sent my family a Christmas card just, like, updating us on her life.
And the address was, like,
the address was, like, ours.
It wasn't really
So, naturally, my family opened it because it was addressed to our house. It said, like, Kimberly Ann. My mom's Kimberly, so they're, like, not far off.
Right.
Just thought that they forgot my dad's name was Steve. I don't know. And every year around Christmas, we read this letter, and it gets funnier and funnier every year. We also probably have, like, an extra cocktail every year before we read it, so I don't know if that's...
Oh, that might be the equation of what's happening.
Correlated. But basically, the way to judge someone, if you're being welcomed into my family, is if you think Aunt Mary's letter is funny or not.
If you want seat 7 or 8 at the cocktail.
If you want seat 7 or 8 at the cocktail. Well, I don't want to give them the answer. What if they're listening to this? It doesn't matter. But, okay, basically, a real good judgment of my family is, like, if you laugh at Aunt Mary's letter, you're one of us.
Yeah.
And if you don't, get out. And this stands true, I think, like, the people that we've tested it on. So, well, basically, that's my only story. I can't read you a chunk of the letter, even though I do have parts memorized, but I feel like that's, like, personal. You don't get to listen to Aunt Mary's letter unless you punch your ticket.
I think that just to summarize it, it was off the wall. Like, it wasn't just, like, here's the family, so-and-so is in second grade.
It's, like this it's woman like moved. Long... This woman moved... continents, I think. Mm-hmm. She moved from, and she's like 80 something.
Yeah.
She likes basketball.
She's telling us about her friends in the South and
giving us warnings about like places to work, places not to work.
Yeah, like who has germs. Like it wasn't just like.
It wasn't like a hello, happy holidays.
Yeah, it was like a novel.
All right, finally, time to get to the idiom. And you chose not my circus, not my monkeys. Also could be not my monkeys, not my circus. I think whatever kind of rolls off the tongue, I think it has the same meaning either way.
I think so.
Flip or flop, right? So why did you pick this idiom?
I've always loved it. It's just kind of always made me laugh when I hear people say it. And I feel like it's so true. Like, you can get all worked up about something, and then someone just reminds you, like, this isn't your problem. And
true, you're like,
oh,
yes.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you hear it, like, someone reminding you of, like, hey, don't worry about this. Not your monkeys, not your circus. Is that right. Where you normally hear it?
Yeah, either someone saying it to me, or I'm saying it to myself, or someone else.
Yeah. It's, for me, it's more common for, like, me to say it.
Okay.
And we'll kind of get into that, but what is your current monkey circus situation? Like,
things that are my,
like, what's your circus right now? What are the things that you actually have to, like, worry about? And, like, right. How are your monkeys doing?
I guess the main one is, like, balancing school and work. The gym monkey is being neglected.
The gym monkey.
So that was in the mix.
Kaylin is one of the people that I feel like I may... Oh, we have a lot.
Someone's moving in.
Someone's moving in or getting their trash outside. Naturally, we live in an alley, so that happens.
Yeah.
But Kaylin is one of the people that I rave to about Merit, which is the gym that I go to. And I raved about it. I recruited her. I was like, you have to go. And I think we'll start going again when it's nice out. And like, rooftop pool is open. We can, like, read books up there.
Right.
But I hear you on Gym Monkey. It'll come. Gym Monkey will be back after Labor Day.
Yeah. I'm very seasonal, I feel like, with working out. Like, you're really good about, you wake up in the morning and you're disciplined.
Except today.
Okay. Yeah. Today excluded. I, like, between November and March, like, don't move.
You go for walks, though.
Yeah.
That's your walking monkey is, like, up.
Yeah. He's in shape. But, then school and work are definitely the priority right now.
Yeah.
And then I guess now since I have a staff, that's, like, a whole nother
circus. You got, like, a lot of people to care for.
Yeah. And we have a great team. Like, they make my job easy. Yeah. But it's definitely more responsibility than I've had before at work.
And balancing that with school.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
I'm so happy you could find time to come on this podcast because I know you have so much going on.
Yeah. Well, it worked out perfect with spring break, so.
True. Right.
Yeah.
This is a real crazy. We're drinking a glass of wine. It was spring break. My current monkeys and circus situation is for sure, like, my job and trying to balance, like, how I can be happy at it. I haven't gone into quite a lot of detail recently on the podcast about my job, but basically it is a lot of like trauma, and my patients are extremely emotional, and the PTs and OTs, like, whenever the patient, which, like, they are so justified in feeling,
well, you're getting them at such a tough point.
My patients are, like, at the worst, like, arguably the worst point of their life, because they probably just had, like, the most traumatic injury or surgery or procedure, or someone in their family has, and then they come to us, and then we try to, like, make them better before they leave. So they're at their most, like, vulnerable, frail, injured, and then emotionally, we do have, like, psych on the team, but they're, like, kind of rarely referred to. And with PTs and OTs, now that they have, like, a rec therapist on the team, they're like, oh, perfect, like, we'll send them to Emily. So I get a lot of the, like, patients that are battling really hard things, and I'm really happy to help, and I'm, like, honored that someone would trust me with this patient. But also, I have never been taught how to balance and separate my personal emotions from someone else's, like, that. Like, I should have gone to school for counseling for this job. Or, like, psych. I don't know. Just something. I think I need more training. I need to go back to school.
Do you mean, like, dumping on you?
Yes, but, like, I'm a listening ear.
Right.
I guess, like, that's kind of in this hospital setting, because I'm a rehab hospital. So, like, in this setting, that's, like, what they deem appropriate. Whereas, like, rec therapists in general everywhere, I wouldn't really tick, like, counseling as, like, one of the more used tools in their belt.
Right.
But in this, like, setting, it's, like, the go-to. Like, if a patient has anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, they're like, Emily, Emily over here. And I'm like,
that's such a weight on your shoulders.
Yeah, it, and just like, I want to help, but I also like don't know how to take care of myself in the same passion, you know, and I get home and I'm exhausted. I'm just like emotionally drained. It's hard to like manage my cup. Yeah. So in terms of like monkeys and circus, I feel like my circus was kind of expanded in a way that made me uncomfortable without me knowing it. Like, I had to take care of a lot more than I was like prepared to do. Mm-hmm. And my monkeys are like running around on fire. It's like SpongeBob when all the file boxes are on fire and he like can't find the file.
Like in his brain.
In his brain, yeah. That's like my monkeys in circus right now. And I've been trying to spend more time. Like, I need to sit my monkeys down and be like, have a banana, take a load off. Like, it's going to be okay.
Well, healthcare is extremely draining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, just I do the nutrition side of it where I was, like, making tube feeds and not even so much patient-centered or patient, like, facing as yours is.
Yeah.
And I felt that, so I can't imagine what you feel like.
Yeah, it's hard just, like, I thought I was a really social person. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it never worried me at all. Like, it wasn't even on my back burner about, like, seeing so many patient-to-therapist hours of contact. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people had said, like, hey, it's a lot of, like, contact with a patient or, like, you spend a lot of time one-on-one. And, like, that didn't phase me at all because I'm like, oh, I'm social. Like, I can talk to a wall.
Right.
But it's, like, what is said during that time that I didn't, like, prep for because no one told me what it would entail. So when I get home, I used to be, like, a really social and be like, let's go out with my friends, go to my friend's house, watch The Bachelor, like, something like that. But now I get home and I just want to, like, sit in quiet silence, like, crochet and watch Vanderpump Rules. And, like, that's the max amount of socialization. So, yeah, I'm just trying to learn how to, because it's doable. Like, there are therapists at my hospital that have been there for, like, 30 years, and they're dealing with the same patients that I am, obviously in, like, more PT-OT ways. But, like, it's definitely manageable to, like, have work-life balance here. Because they do it. So I'm like, why can't, like, if they've been here for that long and, like, tolerate it, what emotional change should they make? And, like, I'm trying to learn from that and, like, see what I can balance better. But those are my circus monkeys right now.
But so. I've said this to you before, and I think the year that you start work is just horrible.
Yeah. Like, you did say that.
Well, it's, and yours is mixed with the year that you left Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my first year leaving Tuscaloosa, I didn't get my graduate degree there, so I was there for 4 years. When I left, I was, like, devastated for a year. Like, it was so hard.
Leaving your college town is awful.
Yeah, and it's not like, we've talked about this too, like, it's not like, oh, I'll just go back, because all your friends are gone. That's not the fix for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that year was awful, just emotionally, for me. And then the year I got into the workforce, like, 2 years later from grad school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but my college days were longer than my work days, but my work days were so much more draining.
Yeah,
And you're kind of combining both of those things.
True, so yes.
It's a lot.
You always said, you just told me this not too long ago. Oh my gosh, I forget. Hold on, my train of thought left the station. I knew it was going to come back to me. I had to pause it and think for a minute. But you said that the version of your college town that you love, like, doesn't exist anymore. And that thought, like, helps me a lot because I imagine, like, I look back on, like, my years at college and with all my friends there. And you're so right. Even in the last year that I was there, like, a lot of my friends moved away to join the workforce. And, like, it kind of dwindled down to, like, a few of us, like, original people that were there. And I know that, like, they're not all of them are there anymore anyways. So, like, the version of Knoxville that I'm imagining just, like, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why. So, like, well, I've been getting better at that. I've been trying to, like, adapt to Baltimore.
I think it takes a year. Like, I was in Augusta, Georgia. Like, yeah. I think, and I was blaming it on that. But I really think it's just wherever you are. Like, that first year is really tough.
Yeah. It could be that. Okay, so just to dive a little deeper into the idiom, I was curious, like, where did the circus and monkeys come from? Because I'm picturing, like, what is it? Warner Brothers? Is that
like Ringling?
Ringling!
Like,
yeah. Warner Brothers is
the, oh, that's like a movie people.
But Ringling Brothers, yeah. I'm like imagining that's where it came from. But I looked it up. I did my research, as you say. Kaylin told me the other day that she did her research and she really just Googled something.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, do you remember? I think it was like the size of a bed or something like that.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about
it. And you're like, yeah, I researched it and it's like smaller.
And you were
smaller.
Like, do you mean, like, you Googled?
So I did some research on Google, and I realized suddenly the "Not My Monkeys, Not My Circus" is a Polish proverb, and quote, at its roughest, it's a way of saying "not my problem." And I agree with that. It also said, it's a statement that rejects responsibility for both the problem and what will follow, subtly or with a shrug, stating, this is your choice and or this is your chaos and your actions. And I like that. I like the, it's a statement that rejects responsibility for the problem and what will follow.
I like how they added that second part.
Yeah. So pretty good job, Google.
Yeah. And my grandmom is Polish. Like,
oh,
her grandmom came here from Poland. So she's like always talking about Poland and like being Polish. So
did she say that to you? Do you think it's...
No, but...
but like good
but thing. She's Polish.
Just fun fact. But just a fun fact about Kaylin. I liked this too. It said, it's a reminder that we must take responsibility for our own lives, problems, behaviors, and outcomes. I need to hear this because at work specifically, I have issues where I try to like make sure every patient, even the ones not on my unit, are also being seen.
Like fix everything.
Yeah, probably. And recently, and I've always felt guilty with like, not my problem. Like, it's kind of hard for me to just like let things go. Mm-hmm. But I love this phrase and I've been getting better at saying it because I need to stay in my lane and like make sure my patients are accounted for, do my own thing and not like say yes to everything and add things to my circus. Like, I have enough.
Yes.
So like if something's going on and it's like not under my circus tent, then like out of sight, out of mind, not my problem.
Right.
Not my monkeys, not my circus. And that like makes me feel really good. Right. I really actually enjoy like kind of shrugging and like getting things off my plate that way. Just
it's like a funny way of saying
it's like funny, too. But also like get that out of my face.
Right. And the more I was thinking of it, the more like you can kind of give a negative connotation to it. Mm-hmm. But like I think the positive of it is, like, we take so much on. Mm-hmm. We can't take everything on.
Well, yeah. I think it's because, like, well, you're a super hard worker. I like to identify as a hard worker.
You are.
Thank you. I try. So, I think for us, like, obviously, we already have too much on our plate. We're already, right. like, most people we, like, associate with, I think. Because, like, we kind of gravitate towards people who are hard workers. Mm-hmm. But most people... when they're saying not my monkeys, not my circus, like around our friend groups, I think, and family members, it's because they already have too much on their plate.
Yeah.
It's when people that are super lazy,
like sitting on the couch, really,
like, not my problem. And I'm like, you actually have nothing going on right now.
There's no circus.
You have no circus, no monkeys. You can take this little monkey on. It's your baby monkey. So another one of our ours, because I think we share this circus and monkey situation, one of mine is like dating, and I speak about that a lot on this podcast, but because like that's what we're going through right now. I think most people our age are like either married off literally, having babies literally, getting proposed to or tied down or like happily single or unhappily single. Like, I right. think everyone is kind of in that phase of life where they're either like looking for something or figuring themselves out. And it's just fun to talk about.
It's so, like a big topic of it's a our good lives big right top- now.
Yeah, exactly. So my question is, what is your circus looking like? Mine is currently, I was on Hinge for a little while and then I met a few people and I'm like talking. I'm trying to, like, be better about dates. Like I said, it's been really hard for me because when I get home from work, I want to sit down and do nothing. And, right. like, that's not really how you get a man. So,
no, unless I walk in your house.
Unless I walk into your house, which could happen. So I've been trying to, like, manage my circus so that I have one little monkey that's left at the end of the day that can, like, go out on the town.
Just in time for summer.
Just in time for summer. So, like, what does your tent look like right now?
Well, I think I briefly mentioned I've been on Hinge now mm-hmm. for about 10 hours. It is dark out there.
It is. And so this is something that we can relate to that Becca can't. And I'm going right. to, like, right. So my sister is happily married, expecting, if you listen to the podcast, that's not a surprise. But Becca likes to go on my Hinge and, like, look through.
I find that my friends that are in relationships, like, that's something they feel well, because, like, they're missing.
Yeah, she thinks that she's missing something, and I'm like, it is not glamorous out there. No. I don't know why. And I don't know why she's, like, invested or, like, excited to look. Because the last word I would use to describe if I'm on Hinge is excited.
Like, no, no.
It's, like, last resort time filler. So, like, what has your 10-hour Hinge experience been like? Just paint us a little picture so that, I guess, Becca and her friends who are happily married get a sense of, like, what it looks like out here in the trenches.
Keep your man. It's dark.
It's just... And I've said this before, I hate apps. One, because people are so much more than their physical appearance. And, like, right. That's what it paints. And no matter what you say or type on an app, you do not get a good depiction of who someone is.
Right.
And I hate that. I love meeting new people. I love, like, laughing, bantering, like, finding common ground. And on an app, that just, like, doesn't happen.
I think it, unfortunately, has also taken away people's confidence of coming up to you in person.
Oh, that's probably true.
I think a combo of dating apps and COVID has just made... And I feel like I want the man to come up to me. It's, like, probably traditional, but that's what I want. I feel like they have lost all confidence in doing that because of, like, COVID times and the dating apps.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. My time on there, so I haven't been on a dating app in, like, probably 6 years.
Yeah.
Because I was in two, like, long-term relationships.
What were the ones, like, 6 years ago?
Because I feel Tinder.
Like, oh, Tinder, yeah.
And Bumble was, like, fairly new.
Yeah.
But my last, like, three relationships, I've met them in person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been a while that I've been on the apps. So Hinge is, like, a completely new app to me. And I got on last night. It's really overwhelming. Like, do you find that? Because... On Tinder and Bumble, like, you have to match. But on Hinge, like, they can just send, I like this picture, I like this quote you said. Like, it's a lot of notifications and from people that you didn't necessarily also like.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Or? I liked Hinge because it has so much more information.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, it does give them a lot of access to, like, just reach out and, like, say whatever they want.
Right.
Which is not ideal all the time. No. Yeah. I just, like, in general, baseline, hate all the apps. It's like, I can't even rank them. I did, I just don't like Tinder because that's, like, what, one picture? Like, maybe a few?
Yeah.
And it's, like, right or left, like, hot or not. That's what I feel when I look at it. But with Hinge, I like that you can kind of bring out your personality in, like, the prompts. So. Yeah.
And I do like how it has serious questions, like, do you want kids?
Yeah.
And, like, 'cause
I think
kind
it
of
gives
thing...
you a lot of information off the bat.
Because right now I'm not interested in being with someone that doesn't want the same things as me. And so I do like that part of it.
Yeah. I think that's really awesome. And I am, like, currently figuring out like what's important to me. Mm-hmm. Like, just this year, I've realized that I need to say on my profile that I want something, what do you call it, long term.
Oh, because, I always swipe right or swipe, like, no if the guy says short-term relationship.
Well, now I do because, like, for a while I had still, like, one of the options is still figuring out my dating goals.
Yeah, did you have
and, like,
that?
Yeah, technically I am still figuring out. So I thought, right. And, like, I felt like long-term was too much, like, someone wanted to immediately go on a date with me and, like, be married, I guess.
Yeah.
That's another reason I hate the dating apps is, like, I have always enjoyed... getting to know someone as, like, friends first and then, like, developing a crush and then, like, seeing where it can go. Whereas with the dating apps, it's, like, you're almost committing to be in, like, the verb term dating them once you go on one date with them.
Right.
Like, you're kind of already dating for, like, you're meeting them with the intention of romanticize, like, romantic goal.
Right.
You can't just, like, what if you go on a date with someone, like, quote, unquote, a date? Like, you met on the dating app. You meet up with them, that's considered a date, but, like, what if they're awesome, but they're not, like, romantically for you? How do you be friends with them? What if you want them as a friend?
Yeah.
They kind of, I don't know, I just don't like that you can't, like, I want to be friend dating first and then, like, advance up.
It also takes out that mystery of, like, oh, do you like me? Or, like,
yeah, and
because,
I love,
like,
that.
You met on the app.
Yeah, it's so, like, obviously you kind of like me and I kind of like you. We just got to see, like, how much.
Right, and you're open to something. Like, it takes all of that out of it.
Yeah.
I also, one thing, I did dating apps, like, briefly, like, 6 years ago. And the thing that deterred me from it was, like, I feel like guys want to have so many, like back and forth conversations on the app that when you finally meet in person, you've discussed everything.
Yeah.
Like I want to have those conversations like in person. Mm-hmm. So I wish you could match and then be like, okay, we'll go on a date
like in a week,
like without, yeah, or like without really speaking first.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Cause then it's like, oh, like, do you have siblings? And then you say, yes, I have two. Whereas in person, you go way more in depth.
Yeah. Like, it's like one lives here, one lives over there. Like, right. Yeah.
Like we're close, but you're not like whatever.
That's so true. Yeah. I definitely like conversation in person much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, still living through that. I think it is nice that like so many people can relate to like this current age of dating experience. Like any person, guy or girl that I talk to in my friend group that are single and like on the dating apps, they all have the same opinion. They're like, I hate dating apps. I met someone great from it. And like, we went on a few dates. It was cool, but then it fizzled. Or like, I hate dating apps. Never went on a date with someone. It's like they normally hate them regularly, but then like maybe something comes out of it.
Right.
But everyone in general is just kind of like, eh, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is a good final wrap on our circus intents. I think we came full circle on our monkeys in our lives right now. Kaylin is such a busy gal. But I'm just happy you could come on
the podcast
today. And that we live so close now. It's so nice. Yeah, and we have a beach house. So soon it's going to be beach season.
Right. Yeah, we live like a half mile away from each other. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, now with the beach house.
Exactly. We can keep hanging. Mm-hmm. So I normally open it up for like final thoughts, open mic. You get to say whatever you want.
Going back to the idiom.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I feel like another way of looking at it is like not taking too much on your plate.
Someone's yelling outside. Do you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Someone's yelling. Anyways, go back to I don't know if
it's is not taking too much on your plate in the sense of like I'm trying to live my life like as simply as possible right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like even though I'm really busy, like, I have, like, 5 or 6 friends that I hang out with. Like, I feel like just making things as simple as possible.
Yeah.
And not dealing with drama.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like in the past, so many of my friends would tell me, like, drama that they have with their friends. And I'm like, I don't have that. Like, my friends just don't have drama.
Yeah.
And so I feel like being able to simplify your life, like, as much as possible.
I like that.
Not take on other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like my final thought on the idea.
That's good. That's like something that I need to hear personally because I think like I need to like smooth over everything, kind of calm everything down and like get rid of the stuff that I don't need to be worrying about because it's like a lot going. It's like literally a circus if you pile up everything and think about it all at once. So I think you're very right and I need to hear that and like kind of go everything with a fine tooth comb and just kind of like pat it down and like leave it.
And like what's minimized. Worth dealing with?
Yeah, what do I want to keep in my tent?
Right.
What monkeys can I kick out the door and then just like focus on my monkeys that I decided to keep.
Right.
And like
and give prioritize.
Those. Yeah, prioritize them. Mm-hmm. That is a beautiful last thought. Well, thanks for coming on, Kaylin.
Thanks for
having
me.
I'm happy you're our third daughter. Wouldn't want anyone else in the family. So I'll see you probably this weekend. Okay, everyone, thank you for listening to the 9th episode of the Discolima podcast. I hope you enjoyed tuning in. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at the Disco Lemon Podcast to hear in 1 week who our next guest will be. Because to be completely honest, I'm kind of dealing with the circus and monkeys right now, and I don't know who the next guest is going to be. But you'll find out on our Instagram page. As always, when life gives you lemons, bring them on here and tune in to the podcast. Join the party. Bye. Audio Jungle.